Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin launches new fundraiser. The Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin is launching a new online fundraiser to replace fundraisers canceled due to COVID-19. During these difficult times, the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin, like many other nonprofits, has had to make some tough decisions about the organization and fundraising activities in light of COVID-19. In response, the club is launching a new digital fundraising event that continues through May 15th. Opportunities to make direct donations to the Boys and Girls Club, as well as bid on silent auction items like a guitar signed by George Strait, Southwest Airlines tickets, and more, will be available on this website. The fundraiser is available at https://one.bidpal.net/BGCPB. Since 1958, our generous supporters have backed the Boys and Girls Clubs in Midland and Odessa through good times and rough patches, said David Chancellor, executive director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin. This era of a global pandemic will be difficult for the club, but even more so for the extremely vulnerable populations that we support. This new fundraiser and the generosity of our supporters will allow us to be able to weather this storm like we have others in the past and continue to support children in our communities who need the most help. The fundraiser received support from a variety of companies and individuals in the community, including Alpha and Omega, Sewell Family of Companies, Emmett Headley, John Burns, the Garriga Law Firm, Bobby Bland, Community National Bank, Rosalind Redfern Grover, Double Point Energy, Cooper Construction Company, Salisbury Industries, Frost Bank, AIM Bank, HEB, Synergy Entertainment, and Henry Resources. OC Professor Helps Develop PBS Documentary by Ruth Campbell. An Odessa College professor has played a role in developing the upcoming PBS series Asian Americans. The series is set for 7 p.m. May 11th and May 12th and incorporates the educational work of Charity Embley, Associate Professor in the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Education. I'm passionate about Asian Americans, the issues that we encountered in America in terms of racial equality. I came across Asian Americans Advancing Justice, she said. What's provided works across a variety of curriculum. Embley is Filipino-American and has made Lubbock her home. She earned a bachelor's degree in biology from the University of St. La Salle, a private Catholic university in the Philippines. She took a master's degree in education and a PhD from Texas Tech University. Embley wound up in Lubbock because of her husband. I come from a Filipino culture where from the moment you're in grade school, your parents pretty much predetermine what your college degree is going to be. So my parents decided I was smart enough, I should be a doctor, Embley said. Instead, she became a PhD. Most of the educators she worked with on Asian Americans were from California. I work in terms of uplifting the Asian American aspect in America, Embley said. The curriculum project was spearheaded by Asian Americans Advancing Justice, Los Angeles, and PBS. There has been a lot of miseducation and misinformation and even exclusion with regard to the contribution of Asians in the U.S., Embley said in information from OC. We hope that through the use of videos and lesson plans, we can educate Americans about what it is like to be Asian in America. She's hoping that the program will educate people during the COVID-19 pandemic, help alleviate some of the fear, and learn more about the Asian American experience. It breaks my heart to see how many Asian Americans in California are being harassed because some people think they're Chinese and they caused the coronavirus because our president said it's a Chinese virus, Embley said. Embley started at Odessa College last year, inspired by a friend who started working there during the summer. She always talked about how great Odessa College was and how much she enjoyed it. So one day she applied for a position, Embley said. And I guess the rest is history, she said. Opinion. Letter to the editor. Time to rediscover Odessa. National Tourism Week is this week, May 3rd through 9th. How do we celebrate this National Week of Recognition when traveling is discouraged? This healthcare crisis has put a halt not only on travel, but even on the gathering of people. However, this slower pace has been a time for reflection and appreciation of the many things we take for granted. What our community has to offer is one of those things. I would like to encourage the citizens of Odessa to rediscover our city. You might be surprised what you will learn. Did you know the Ellen Knoll Art Museum is one of 11 Smithsonian affiliates in the state of Texas? Or that we have 32 uniquely painted jackrabbits throughout the city? You can find a map of them on discoverodessa.org under the Attractions tab. We have a replica of England's Stonehenge, and a beautiful memorial statue dedicated to the late Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, who was born in Odessa in 1974. Did you know that our newest attraction, the Spire, is the tallest outdoor lighted art piece in Texas? We also have some great public parks and trails, such as Central Bark Dog Park, the Odessa Mountain Bike Trail, McKinney Park, Sherwood Park, Comanche Trail, Knoll Plaza, Memorial Gardens, and the UTPB Walking Trail. We also have a great organization known as Odessa Arts, which is made up of 20-plus art organizations that offer and promote events and cultural opportunities throughout the community all year long. Discover Odessa is a department at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Part of our job is to promote our city by highlighting attractions, restaurants, retail, and local art. We are funded by hotel occupancy tax. Unfortunately, like everyone else, we are not seeing as many visitors in our hotels, largely due to the economic downfall of oil and gas and somewhat to COVID-19. Once our community is given the green light to fully open back up, the staff of Discover Odessa will reach out to groups and associations, alluring them to visit, stay, and play in our city. It is more important now than ever that we as citizens take pride in where we live and encourage others to check us out. All the points above bring me back to my point. Get to know Odessa, our wonderful community, and all it has to offer. With the partial reopening of our city taking place, now would be a great time to do so. Monica Chauner, Director of Discover Odessa.
Odessa American Opinion, Friday, May 8th, 2020. Texas View. As economy reopens, Texas workers need protection now. The Point. Can you be essential and disposable? when it comes to many of the people we depend on during the pandemic, whether for manning our hospitals, processing our food, or stocking store shelves, the answer has been a callous shrug. Across the country, as frontline workers get sick or die, our message to them has been as simple as it is shameful. You are needed. You are vital. But don't expect us to keep you safe. Meat and poultry processing plants in Texas have turned rural counties into coronavirus hotspots, with workers forced to stand side by side regardless of the danger. Healthcare workers have not only struggled with lack of protective equipment, they were left out of expanded paid sick leave protections by Congress. Grocery store workers are required to wear masks to protect the public, but customers too often fail to return the favor. It is not enough to thank them for their service or to appreciate their sacrifice. We must do all we can to make sure workers are protected. That means demanding state and federal governments attune workplace safety rules to fit the immediate crisis. So many people are going to be facing these horrible choices of weighing their safety and the public safety against what for many is a desperate need to have a paycheck, Texas AFL-CIO President Rick Levy told the editorial board. So far, neither federal nor state governments have adopted standards to safeguard workers from the novel coronavirus, and those who refuse to work out of safety concerns have little recourse. Texas doesn't have any agency with oversight over workplace safety, so it is up to the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration. OSHA has taken a largely hands-off approach and has been slow to address complaints, worker advocates said. It has failed to issue specific guidelines for employers on dealing with the pandemic, limiting its own ability to enforce safety issues related to the outbreak. Without a clear set of rules, workers must rely on their employers to do the right thing. Fortunately, some have. Responsible companies, such as the 151 businesses who have signed on to the Greater Houston Partnership's Work Safe program, have agreed to much-needed common-sense safety measures, including allowing employees to work from home when possible, implementing social distancing, requiring sick workers to stay home, and adjusting paid sick leave policies. The Houston Chronicle.
Obituary for Friday, May 8th. Gerald Samuel Jerry Benton. Jerry Samuel Benton, 71, of Odessa, passed away May 5th at Medical Center Hospital. Graveside services were held Friday, May 8th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with the Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Jerry was born in Abilene, February 22nd, 1949, and is preceded in death by his father, Ford Benton, and mother, Willie Rachel Benton. He is survived by his aunt, Rosa Smith, and numerous cousins. Memorials may be sent to the charity of the donor's choice. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Michael David Mike Bateman. Mike Bateman, 61, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 7th. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, May 9th at the Acres West Funeral Chapel with Brother Josh Blevins officiating. Darlene E. Dixon. Darlene E. Dixon, 76, of Midland, died Monday, May 4th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Armando Garcia Lavario. Armando Garcia Lavario, 70, died Thursday, May 7th. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Alonzo Griffin, Lonnie Sims. Lonnie Sims, 93, died Thursday, May 7th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Monday, May 4th, 2020. McConaughey spending time with family makes coronavirus PSA, by Helena Andrews Dyer, Washington Post. Matthew McConaughey has some deep thoughts, man. The Oscar winner, whose off-screen persona comes off as dude incarnate, is spending his quarantine not just hunkering down, but having some big thinks. He's diving into paradoxes, personal responsibility, mental calisthenics, and hand-to-hand combat, plus hosting bingo night. I'm just riding it live and going with how I am feeling, said McConaughey. People are losing their grease trapped at home. How do you have people own up to the reality that, yes, it is a horror show, and at the same time, you don't want to create chaos? The hard part is there's no playbook. This is unprecedented, he adds in his unmistakable Texan drawl. But he's found a lane in which to ride. Since the coronavirus pandemic sent millions of people inside, McConaughey has popped up in the most McConaughey of places. On a Zoom call with his fellow University of Texas faculty members, delivering masks to his local police station, playing a soap opera doctor on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, carousing around his backyard as the masked character Bobby Bandito. Is the man just bored? Look, when a crisis like this comes and it causes disruption, your purpose can become very clear, said McConaughey, 50, from his home in Austin. I've just been going, hey, let me grab a hold of some messages that I truly believe need to be put out. In March, the message flashing on his radar was stay at home. But McConaughey didn't see an aggressive take on it. He wanted to fix that, so he shot a minute and a half video urging folks to turn a red light into a green light and just keep living. It's bare bones, somewhat straight talk that has been viewed nearly 5 million times. People thought that staying at home was a cowardly move, so I thought it was important to get the message out there that this is a sort of a paradox of the times. Your best weapon is to stay at home. That's how we quote-unquote win at hand-to-hand combat, the actor explained. But he also wanted to lighten the mood. I felt myself and everybody feeling overwhelmed with the solemn infomercial PSAs. We're past the shock. Let's put a character spin on it and have a little fun with it. So maybe it's weirdly cool, he said of his Bobby Bandito PSA. In it, bounty hunter Bobby B., a scruffier version of McConaughey, demonstrate how a do-it-yourself mask out of a bandana. The actor's buddy, MUD director Jeff Nichols, did him a solid and helped shoot it in McConaughey's backyard. One Instagram user called the short spot, "So Texan it hurts." And earlier this week, McConaughey released yet another PSA, this time in Spanish. He'd heard that the Latino community was particularly vulnerable during the pandemic, so he called up his pal, champion boxer Canelo Alvarez, and they recorded a message urging people to stay home or wear masks when outside. This tagline, "Solo sigue viviendo," just keep living it, is signature McConaughey and also the name of his foundation, Just Keep Living, which promotes wellness for high schoolers. Are some people going to listen to me? Sure. You can't have too many of those messages right now. I'm not trying to play doctor, said McConaughey. In fact, he would really, really love to hear from one. Like the rest of the country, the actor is waiting for someone, an expert specifically, to tell him what to do, how to do it, and when all this will end. An international consensus would be best, he said, but that's not happening. So in the meantime, his 3.4 million Instagram followers are going to get these good PSAs, even if McConaughey realizes quite clearly that he's in a better position than most. Relatively speaking, I'm having a damn good pandemic. I have to unpack what that means. I understand there's people over there sweating bullets, pacing the house with three crying kids and a wife or husband they only like spending an hour a day with, and now I have to spend 18 hours with. And there's a bottle over there that sure would be nice to hit at noon. That's hard. That's real, said McConaughey. I sit in a privileged position. But it would be foolish of me to say, oh, but it doesn't affect me. The virus has brought down even the highest flying birds down to the same level. Hey, man, I'm not talking at you. I'm with you. And here's where McConaughey gets in deep into the paradox of the times, what he calls his 3 a.m. thoughts about how humankind has never been so distant and yet so connected. We've never been more responsible for each other, he said. Staying at home seems like a very defensive, receptive backing away. But it's actually the grandest Excalibur weapon, he said. This is a forced winter for everyone. But it's just about May. It's springtime, another paradox. So how is McConaughey, one of the quintessential dudes, the kid from Dazed and Confused, and grown man in those Lincoln car commercials, really dealing with all this? You know, aside from churning out online content and calling virtual bingo for seniors, he's taking inventory. I think I'm becoming a better parent. I hope to maintain that presence, he said. We do more things together. We're watching a lot less TV. We're doing puzzles. We know the yard better. We're grooming the dog. We're eating more dinners and lunches together. We're saying more prayers before those meals. That's some of the upside. That's keeping my compass where it is. This is the opinion page. This is the column called Guest View. There's no clear national strategy for returning to normal, from the Washington Post. May Day brought expiration of the federal social distancing guidance, and as more than half the states began to lift their restrictions, the United States plunged forward in the pandemic without a national strategy. Instead, we have an uneven patchwork of local decisions and a population divided, fatigued, wary, and still highly susceptible to the novel coronavirus while suffering massive economic losses. This is a moment to remember what we know, what works, and the right way forward. What works is social distancing to break the chains of transmission of a virus that leaps from person to person. We know it works because of the early explosive growth of new infections has slowed. But new infections and deaths are not yet on a downward slope. Every day, 2,000 lives are being lost. It is too soon to return willy-nilly to crowded places or to drop vigilance about masks, hand-washing, and discretionary travel. President Donald Trump, who should be guiding a national response to the pandemic, has instead abdicated responsibility, shifting it to governors and local leaders. This will be remembered as a dark hour of the presidency, during which the call for an inspiring leader with a coherent strategy went unanswered. Instead, the public was told by Trump not to expect help. You know, we're not a shipping clerk. Just as irresponsibly, his son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner is raising expectations that the pandemic will vanish like spring rains. He announced breezily that, quote, by June, a lot of the country should be back to normal. And the hope is that by July, the country is really rocking again, unquote. Such ungrounded happy talk will lead only to more discouragement and disillusionment later. The economic distress is genuine, but it requires a calibrated reopening so as not to risk flare-ups that would be only more costly later. Absent a vaccine or therapy, the path to this reopening is clear: a process of testing, contact tracing, isolating the sick, and returning to work in ways that will not endanger the healthy. Unfortunately, the tools for managing the next phase are not yet fully in place. Diagnostic testing is still running behind the levels needed, and contact tracing is just getting off the ground. The complex choreography of reopening now falls to governors and mayors. Already, they are headed in different directions, some holding to the same restrictions as in April, but many others loosening the reins now. They must tell a restive public, as Trump is loath to do, not to expect a sudden return to normal as we knew it. Those who are taking the risk of relaxing restrictions must now be prepared to retreat if infection rates begin to spike again. The virus will relentlessly exploit any gaps. If some jurisdictions allow it to regain momentum, it could ignite a second wave of disease for others as well as for them. The only sustainable way back to normal is for everyone to stick with social distancing, hold realistic expectations, and carefully manage the easing, step by step, tested and traced, until the day when an effective, safe vaccine arrives.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, May the 3rd, 2020. Owner of Halo Hair has reasons to celebrate. Salon receives CARES funding, would open later this month. By Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. Chrissy Hale, owner of Halo Hair and Beauty Bar at 100 North Main, has two reasons to celebrate. One is the possibility that her salon will finally be able to reopen for business by mid-May. Second, but most important, she just received word she has received federal funding from the Paycheck Protection Program, part of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security CARES Act, that will allow her to not only pay her employees' wages for the next 2.5 months, but also the bonuses and tips they would have received had the salon not been shut because of the coronavirus pandemic. That was a huge blessing, she said in a phone interview. Hale is awaiting word on when Texas will allow salons like hers to reopen. Governor Greg Abbott has said May 18th is the date that businesses like hers can reopen, and she said she is awaiting any updates. We'll see how it goes the next 2 weeks, see if the virus is better contained. The salon already practiced good sanitation, she said. Employees would sanitize the salon when they weren't busy tending to clientele, but when the salon reopens, that will be taken up a notch. After every client, we will sanitize doorknobs, shampoo basins, chairs, the front counter. We'll sanitize constantly. Also, in keeping with guidelines, only 10 people, including staff, will be allowed in the salon at a time. Customers will be required to wear masks, and there will be masks available for purchase if the customer doesn't have one. There's proof masks help stem the spread, she said. Customers also will be asked to sign forms stating they have had no COVID-19 symptoms in the 2 weeks before their visit, and if they develop symptoms within 2 weeks after their visit, they will contact the salon. That will help contact tracing efforts, she said. We've been able to stay open by selling products, color kits, PD kits. The first couple of weeks we were closed. There was no decline in business. Our clientele really supported us. They'd buy products online, gift cards online. The community really helped keep us alive. The opinion page. Opinion Extra. From editor Stuart Doreen. Americans should be consistent about how accusations are perceived. I want to know if Joe Biden committed acts that should disqualify him from being the next president of the United States. I also wanted to know the same about President Trump when accusations were made against him. There will be a lot written about this skeleton in the former vice president's closet. Did he sexually assault a former Senate staffer, or didn't he? Chances are, the American people will never know for sure. That is how these scandals work. Truth is in the eye of the beholder, it seems. The point here isn't about whether accusations are correct. The point here is, are we consistent in the way we perceive those accusations? Were you troubled when women came forward against President Trump or Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh? Well, are you equally as troubled about the allegation against the former vice president? If you aren't, is it because you're a Democrat? Certain groups spoke out with a mighty voice in 2016, or during the Kavanaugh hearings, but we haven't heard a peep out of them now. I don't know why one's political affiliation is relevant on matters of sexual assault, but apparently it is. And for those who really didn't care much about Trump's accusers in 2016 because that was in the past, or because Democrats got away with something earlier, or because you were worried about the economy, first and foremost, then the same can be said of you. It is hard to see why anyone should take seriously your comments about Biden this week. Our politics have blinded us on matters that should transcend the political arena. There are organizations dedicated to advancing groups of people who will turn their back on a person if they don't walk lockstep with an organization's political stance. It is when hashtag me too becomes hashtag not now. It happens on both sides, so there is no reason for anyone to be offended or feel picked on. Instead of being offended, be better and be consistent. If you expect your candidates for office to measure up, make sure they all do, not just those of one political affiliation.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 2nd, 2020. Heat Wave, A Reminder to Always Check Your Vehicles, by Levi Stone, RN, MSN. Chief Nursing Officer. Triple-digit temperatures are here, which reminds us of the dangers heat-related injuries can bring when exposed to these conditions. As we begin to venture out from our sheltering in place, so too we'll be jettisoning around town in our vehicles. Parked vehicles, which are exposed to direct sunlight, can even be life-threatening, especially for children and pets. And since children and pets are dependent on caregivers' supervision and actions to ensure their safety, they are more susceptible to the consequences negligence and forgetfulness can bring. Fortunately, following a few tips and using a bit of common sense can avoid catastrophe and heartache from occurring. As the sun bears down on cars and trucks, the windows act like a greenhouse, allowing sunlight in while trapping and radiating heat inside the vehicle. Even on mild days, where outside temperatures are in the 60s and 70s, the interior can reach temperatures of around 110 degrees. However, when outside temps are near or above 100 degrees, a vehicle can literally turn into a full-blown oven, reaching temps around 130 degrees in as little as 20 minutes to above 170 degrees within an hour. Even when windows are partially rolled down, temperatures will continue to climb to dangerous levels, leaving anything and anyone within it subject to serious harm. Left inside a vehicle, it only takes a short period of time before the intense heat begins to impact the body's ability to regulate a safe core temperature. With normal body temperatures ranging between 97 to 99 degrees Fahrenheit, as the core temperature exceeds 100 degrees and rises, at a certain point the body can no longer compensate and can lead to serious trouble. Without getting to a cooler, safer environment, the severity of harm can escalate from heat cramps to heat exhaustion to a full-blown medical emergency in heat stroke. Heat cramps begin after profuse, heavy sweating. With a significant loss of fluids and electrolytes, this results in muscle cramping, particularly in the legs and abdomen, and many times can induce nausea. Without access to water to hydrate and replenish fluids, the body will continue to heat up past 102 degrees, leading to heat exhaustion, resulting in muscle weakness, fading pulse, vomiting, dizziness, and even fainting. At this stage, the body can still get back to a normal temp, but only if immediate action is taken. If not, it progresses toward the most serious and even fatal heat stroke. As the body enters a temp of 104 to a lethal 108 degrees, it begins to shut down. Organs begin to fail and the body can no longer function properly. Even with emergency medical treatment, individuals suffering a heat stroke can have permanent organ failure, brain damage, or even die from the prolonged heat exposure. Again, and unfortunately, the majority of deaths attributed to heat exposure from being in these superheated death traps are young children and pets. Everyone must realize children and pets do not have the capacity to remove themselves from dangerous situations and rely on others to protect them from harm's way, which includes keeping tabs on them always. See, not all that are injured or die in this manner were left in a car by an adult. Some children and pets can find their way into unlocked, unattended vehicles and unintentionally become trapped in them. Make sure you do your part to prevent this from occurring. Never leave children or pets in unattended vehicles, not even for a minute. Even when windows are rolled down, the interior of a car can rise 20 degrees higher than the outdoor temps in as little as 10 minutes. If children and/or pets are traveling in your vehicle, find ways to remind yourself they are there. This can be as simple as putting a note on the steering wheel or placing a stuffed animal or their favorite toy next to you when they are occupants in your vehicle. A child who has fallen asleep can be overlooked, so when leaving your vehicle, check to ensure everyone is out. Once your car or truck is parked, lock the vehicle, even while at home. Curious children and pets may enter them without anyone knowing before it's too late. In nearly every circumstance in which a child or pet has died from heat exposure was preventable. Be wise when it comes to unattended vehicles in hot climates. It very well could be the difference between saving a life and losing one.
Letters to the editor. Practice safe living. As a senior citizen with underlying causes, I am practicing the COVID-19 protocols and self-isolating and only going out for essential activities. While staying home, I am reading more and just finished a wonderful book by Eric Metaxas, a best-selling author whom we have had here as part of the John Ben Shepherd Public Leadership Distinguished Lecture Series in 2017. It is entitled, If You Can Keep It, and tells the story of the forgotten promise of American liberty. I would encourage everyone to obtain a copy and read it during this difficult time. I must admit, I had not heard of the Golden Triangle of Freedom, coined by Oz Guinness. It states that to be free, freedom requires virtue, virtue requires faith, and faith requires freedom. That is something to ponder. The book tells the story of how we came to be as a country and how truly unique we are as Americans and how far we have strayed from many of the original concepts embodied in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It strikes home especially in these difficult times. As I stated, I would encourage all to read and compare what our founding fathers envisioned and their principles to those that are being practiced today and how our leaders are responding. For me, it was an eye-opener. Charles Cotton, Odessa. Media was too rude. There appears to have been a real negative turn towards some of our local leaders recently by members of this press. Some of the coverage of Judge Hayes has gotten just flat out nasty. In your opinion piece, Our View, Sideshow Needs to End Now, some of the comments got out of line. And the ultimate blame lies with County Judge Debbie Hayes, who is allegedly leading the effort. We say allegedly, and on, The article read more like a hit piece than an opinion piece written by a professional reporter. I won't lie, I have had my disagreements with Judge Hayes. I have talked with her about our disagreements. I have spoken at commissioner court meetings about our disagreements, but never once has it gotten personal. Even when I went to a hearing and spoke against a tax rate she supported, she still smiled, greeted me with a hug, and took a picture with my children. It worked. We worked it out like adults. I still disagree with that vote, but I also still smile and talk to her like a friend every time I see her. Yes, we have disagreed, but she does not have evil in her heart and does not deserve to be attacked. Maybe she has not been as available to the media as you would like, but maybe that is also because certain members of the media have been acting unprofessionally. I am a strong supporter of the media. I understand the media's role in maintaining our freedom and keeping the public informed. The media is specifically protected in the Constitution because our founders understood the importance of a free press. Please do not abuse that freedom to attack our leaders on a personal level. I will continue to support Judge Hayes while she is in office. I will probably continue to disagree with her at times. So is life in a republic. When I agree with her, I will voice my agreement. What I will never do is attack her as a person. I hope and pray that our local media will do the same. It is time that all sides treat each other with civility, even in the face of disagreement. Dallas Kennedy, Odessa. We are in liminal space. I looked up liminal space on the internet. https://inalimnalspace.org/about-us/what-is-a-liminal-space/. The word liminal comes from the Latin word limen, L-I-M-E-N, meaning threshold, any point or place of entering or beginning. A liminal space, L-I-M-I-N-A-L, is the time between the what was and the next. It is a place of transition, a season of waiting and not knowing. Liminal space is where all transformation takes place if we learn to wait and let it form us. Author and theologian Richard Rohr describes this space as where we are betwixt and between the familiar and the completely unknown. There alone is our old world left behind, while we are not yet sure of the new existence. That's a good space where genuine newness can begin. This is the sacred space where the old world is able to fall apart and a bigger world is revealed. If we don't encounter liminal space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy. The threshold is God's waiting room. Here we are taught openness and patience as we come to expect an appointment with the divine doctor. We are definitely in liminal space with the coronavirus. So often these days people say, let's get back to normal. Yet many doctors and scientists say that we're in for a new normal. We're in liminal space. Let's not waste this time. How can we be creative in our educational methods, in our politics, in our business dealings, in our social communications, in our religion? How can we make a new normal for our polarized country? How can we let this time be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block? How can we be imaginative to create a better future? Maybe we don't know how, but if we share with each other our desire, together we can make things happen. We just celebrated Easter, but before Easter came Good Friday, and between those two was Saturday, that day of waiting, not knowing, God's waiting room. If we go back to what was and do not grow from this experience, what a waste. Joseph Euchre, Odessa.
X-rays and CT scans use radiation. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Friday, May 8th. Dear Dr. Roach, I became short of breath walking upstairs or during mild exercise, like walking a short distance. My stress test was normal, heart normal, and blood pressure good. My doctor has ordered a coronary calcium score. Should I be concerned about the amount of radiation in this CT scan? Answer. A coronary calcium score is performed by a special CT scanner. It determines the amount of calcium in the coronary arteries. There is a very good but not perfect correlation between calcium in the arteries of the heart and the likelihood of blockages in those arteries. Blockages can cause symptoms, and if they progress or rupture, they can cause a heart attack. A normal coronary calcium, especially in combination with a normal stress test, makes significant blockages in the artery very unlikely. All X-rays and CT scans use radiation. However, the amount of radiation from most modern dedicated coronary calcium CT scanners, called an electron beam CT, is very small, 0.6 mSv. This is only a little more than a mammogram. A different test, the computed tomography angiogram, CTA, can give not only a calcium score, but it also uses dye to look inside of blood vessels. It gives information very nearly as good as an angiogram from cardiac catheterization. However, the radiation dose is much higher, as much as 1200 mSv, about 200 times as much radiation. There are still times when the CTA is the better test, but it is costlier in money, a larger radiation dose, and dye, which can occasionally damage kidneys. Dear Abby, for Friday, May 8th. Altering wife's perfect dishes is blasted by cook. Dear Abby, regarding recipe for disaster in Texas, February 17th, I have to say I disagreed with your response. Although Michelin won't be awarding me any stars, I consider myself a good cook, and I strive to make unique, flavorful meals for my family. My husband frequently feels the need to doctor my recipes, and I think it's disrespectful of the time and care I took in preparing the meal. He insists on combining ingredients that don't belong together. He puts cheddar cheese on spaghetti, bologna and ranch dressing on chicken teriyaki. He knows this isn't appropriate, and he would never ask for this modification in a restaurant. Recipe should learn to appreciate that his wife is preparing meals for him. If he can do better, he can take over the cooking. Flavor Queen of North Carolina. Dear Queen, I enjoyed the responses to that letter about a husband re-seasoning his wife's gourmet meals to her distinct displeasure. Some of the online comments made me chuckle, so I'll share them too. Read on. Dear Abby, while I was in the military, it was normal to add salt, pepper, and ketchup to everything without tasting it first. The habit has followed me for 50 years, no matter where I am. I tell the host that it's normal for me and to not take it personally. Mac and cheese needs ketchup. Veggies, potatoes, eggs, and watermelon need salt. Most everything else needs pepper. For me to taste something, it has to burn my tongue. Vietnam vet in Missouri. Dear Abby, that wife sounds like an oversensitive control freak. Personally, I can't handle peppers, but I do like lots of cheese and sour cream on my enchiladas. My wife, who does the majority of the cooking, knows my preference, so she does me the honor of putting more of that on my enchiladas. I also like to dip my fries into mayo instead of ketchup, so she obliges. This is what we do for the people we love. We don't threaten. My way or the highway, bub. G.S. in Abbeyland. Dear Abby, I laughed when I was told to substitute healthy plain yogurt for sour cream. It never tasted anything like sour cream to me. Then I got some Greek yogurt and realized it works just as well. It's an excellent protein source, and many older adults need more as we age. Now I add plenty without feeling guilty. Online lover. Dear Abby, my husband jokes that he has Mexican taste buds, but a white guy stomach. Thank heavens we have separate bathrooms. CK on the net. Dear Abby, I know when my husband gets out the Tabasco that the meal is not quite to his liking. I don't usually mind because I don't cook just for him. I cook for the entire family. And just for reference, he thinks I'm an amazing cook. PM on the web. Dear Abby, oh yes, Tabasco sauce. My dad had so much of it in his lifetime, he should have been McClowney's pitchman. I can see the ad now. Announcer, what do you have Tabasco with? Man, I have it with chili. Woman, I have it with eggs. My dad, I have it with a straw. Abdick.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Taurus and a moon in Scorpio until 3:15 a.m., when the moon enters Sagittarius. Happy birthday for Friday, May 8, 2020. Convincing and caring, you work on something very special to help others or the environment this year. Financially, you are set. If single, you are irresistible and have your pick of the crop. You may be more devoted to your mission over finding a mate. But if you do, it will stick. If attached, your partner allows you to be playful, even silly. You like each other's company more and more. Aries wants to lead the game. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Ambitions will stir today. Your flair for working and dealing with all types of people can lead to a worthwhile opportunity. Follow through on exploring offers that come your way now. Tonight, spend valuable time with a child who needs your attention. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Others will want to discuss finances with you. Sincerity can become an issue with a loved one. Keep ties on a spiritual and idealistic plane. Avoid anyone who exhibits addictive behavior. Keep your distance from the untruthful and untrustworthy. Tonight, to yourself. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Others will be quite assertive, but your winning charm and diplomacy smooth over ruffled feathers and hurt feelings. Keep debates and rivalry good-natured. Others have very different tastes and preferences. Celebrate diversity and smile. Tolerance will win you a valuable ally. Tonight, date night. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Ills of the mind and body can be healed. A new strength and confidence develop today. Allow others to make the plans and adopt a live and let live attitude. If memories flood your thoughts, make a conscious effort to focus on the happy recollections. Tonight, relax. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Expect some fireworks today. An exciting new prospect can be drawn toward you while an old involvement fades. Your creativity is off the charts and new ideas need to be given priority. Write down what comes to you. Tonight, play with a child. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. There's an emphasis on your home and family today. Change is key if anything is troubling you about family. Family members will want to progress and meet new challenges. It is your job to let them. Tonight, in your own private Idaho. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Conversations today provide helpful ideas and perspectives. Certain friends need support. Overcome impatience and try to help. Compose important emails. Many short trips around the neighborhood may be undertaken. Tonight, catch up with cousins you haven't spoken to in a while. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 3 stars. A friend might be jealous or troubled. You will be called to mediate a disagreement between companions. Annoying as this may be, your help will do good. Try your best to let everyone speak their piece. Tonight, go over your accounts. You will need to. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. An adventure ends differently than expected, but at least life is interesting. Keep a perspective on emotional involvement and how attachments impact your choices. Focus on protecting the comfort of loved ones. Tonight, check in on an elderly relative who just wants to talk. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. You must create your own happiness today. Create a wholesome mindset and direct your imagination toward positive creative projects. Visualization can generate powerful magic. Revel in the freedom that comes from time spent alone. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Your social circle is interesting, but especially changeable all year. You must prepare to say goodbye to old friends while greeting new ones. Your priorities are shifting. Take the time to do some soul-searching today and decide who is most important. Tonight, take off. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Impressions you make today affect your professional status for a long time to come. Situations that have been developing finally crystallize, and you have the opportunity to take on new projects. Work hard and do your very best. Tonight, the effort pays off. Born today, naturalist David Attenborough, 1926.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American.
Thomas Pynchon,
this is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.